Good morning, good afternoon, and good day to Dad Timeout Show listeners around the world. Welcome to the Dad Timeout Show. We're just four dads with 12 kids between us, and we all, oddly enough or not, work in the entertainment industry. It's a place to put your feet up or down, or if you're exercising or driving or skateboarding or kite surfing or hiking or moonwalking or watching Taylor Swift at the VMAs or anything like that. If you could like us, subscribe, or leave a review, we'd be forever grateful. And please follow us on the gram, where we're most active, Twitter or Facebook. Tonight's show, of course, the dads kick off with a little catch-up, a little car line chatter for Mark, a little vitamin chat for Chris, and other stuff. And then they'll have their parent tweets of the week based around healthy or not eating. And then in smart articles by smart people, the dads will discuss an article called "Is Homework Good for Kids?" Interesting. I have a student right here. Children and parents are often frustrated, for some educators are calling for a rethink of how we think about homework. That's from The Walrus, a very good publication from our neighbors up north in Canada. And finally, they'll wrap up with a quiz to see if they're in fact smarter than a fifth grader and take an actual fifth grade quiz from the Quiz Grizz. On the line, some Bath & Body Works products yet again. A couple of this or that, and finally, things that make them smile. Speaking of things that make them smile, I am joined by the ultimate dog feeder. What's your name, sir?
Hi, my name is Landon.
Hello, Landon. Thank you for feeding our dog just a few seconds ago and rushing out to do the impromptu dad joke of the week. What is it?
Why shouldn't you write with a broken pencil?
Why shouldn't you write with a broken pencil?
Because it's pointless.
Because it's pointless. So is homework pointless, or do you love it?
I hate it.
Alrighty then. Well, we're going to get into that and so much more. Dad Timeout Show coming up next.
Gathered together from the cosmic reaches of the universe, here in this great hall of justice, are the most powerful forces of good ever assembled, dedicated to truth, justice, and peace for all mankind.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Dad Timeout Show.
All right, here they come around the corner. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hey,
welcome. Hey, who's that tall?
Welcome to the Dad
it's me, Ben.
Timeout Show. Everybody's here tonight. Wow.
Hey. We're
all here. That's huge. Hey. Wow, big night. All four of us in the house.
Is that it?
That's a shot.
Two of us are wearing shorts.
All right, let's paint the room real quick. It is a Wednesday, which is, let me tell you about Wednesday. Well, I'll go around the room first. Good.
Can I first say, I feel bad, okay?
Well.
You've effectively made me feel like, yeah, like when you sat down and said, Wednesdays are horrible.
You missed our conversation because you were a little tardy. But we were talking about a movie called Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day,
right.
Mm-hmm. Which kind of led into that. But we're excited that we didn't break up man softball. And you are joining us tonight in your beautiful Golden State Warriors hoodie.
That's
He's
nice.
Got very unique shoes on, gray socks. He's got the blue jeans on. The hair is definitely groomed. He's got a one-dayer going on the whisker
hair.
Crawl. Yeah, yeah.
3 days.
So Ben's in the house. And Mark's got the interesting look of a long sleeve jacket and shorts.
Interesting. It's like a Fonzie. Kid Fonzie.
Fonzie in California?
Fonzie, yeah.
Like
California
when he jumped
Fonzie.
A shark?
Fonzie,
yeah. Remember when he jumped a shark?
Chic.
Chris was always the first one here. And it feels a little drained. I tell you, though, it's one of those interesting. Well, welcome back. I'm glad we're all here tonight. It is one of those days I've just had like mini disaster after mini disaster. I don't know. So as you walked in, the washer sink overflowed. So I can't even deal with that right now, but there's a towel on the floor. Earlier today, while cleaning the rabbit cage that was neglected by the other humans in the home, The rabbit food went into the air purifier, which was next to the rabbit cage, which dispersed rabbit food. And then if it didn't go into the air purifier and make the popcorn sound, I thought, and I keep in mind, I'm on the other end of the cage. So I'm thinking like electricity's going, something's blowing up. Yeah. And then I took my car in to get repaired this morning. And what I thought was going to be a minor little hookup is going to end up running me around a grand. So it's like I said, it's like this movie, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day.
Rabbit, I mean,
it's only going to get better.
Yeah. Days over, bro.
I'm an optimist. Oh, yes.
And we're around the corner.
I got a note from my better half that said she's en route with the children. Okay. And when she arrives, she'd be happy to bring out the beverage of the evening tonight, which will match your post post pod dinner quest. So nice. I'm going to let you just wonder what that might be.
Yeah, I hope it is what we think it is.
There's a lot to talk about tonight. Let's see. What am I addicted to? Let's just start there.
I like that one. Okay. I got a few.
So I told you we I don't know if you listened to the show, Ben, but I went off about Zach Bryan and my new favorite singer ever. And we went on Ticketmaster. He put them on Ticketmaster this week. And I was literally like, it's Taylor Swift. Like, you're like, you are 37,000 in queue. You are 20,000. My wife and I are hitting refresh. Don't hit refresh. Hit refresh. We're like on TikTok trying to find tips. And we ended up scoring our tickets to Denver. Stadium. What? Yes. He's only playing two stadiums. One, oddly, in Philadelphia. And then he added another night. So there must be something about Philly that he loves. And then Denver was another huge one. So anyway, Zach Bryan tickets score. Nice. Speaking of music, my latest favorite addiction. I have a correction to make about last show, by the way. Radio X. Do you know it, Ben?
No.
You seem like you'd be the only one that know it.
Mm.
It's a radio station out of the UK.
Okay.
And it's kind of global, but I watch a lot of their stuff on TikTok, and they always have these great people in the studio. But it's like, so if you ever went to Glastonbury and you're like, I only know the two top line artists, they play the next line, next line, next line, like, and then all old classic stuff. I don't know if you've ever heard of Manic Street Preachers, Snow Patrol. I mean, Razor Light, you could go on and on and on and on.
It says right here, radio station playing fresh rock and guitar-based music.
But it's different than Americans, like, you know, heavy metal, turning to 94.4, Kansas City's hard rock.
Hey, yeah.
But it's a little different. So radio, that's what we're listening to in the background tonight. Okay. So hopefully we'll get sued for a copyright and make the news. Uh-huh. Other than that, pumpkin candles, white sage. This is not even making me smile, but this is actually what happened in my life. Okay. But here's the big news. And actually, we're going to get into some other stuff down the line. So, you know, I'm doing the Watchers of Weight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I told you this. You know how many points I'm allotted?
Look at me
and take a wild guess.
I don't know how the point system works.
1,200.
So you get points for
1,200.
Food.
1,200? No,
that's calories.
That would be a large mammal.
Yeah, like 36?
Middle-sized mammal.
No, they give you a point allotment based on your weight. And then each food you eat, you can tally up points. A lot of the ones I eat are 0 points.
Oh, okay.
And then you can exercise and it adds points. Ooh. And you get a point total for every day. And then they have rollover.
I like that.
But for me, it's like a food diary. I keep track of food and stuff. And I just find myself, I need something to keep me on track versus just willpower. But it's nice. So then I'm like, all right, this is fine. I'm shape-shifting, doing a lot of that fun stuff, meaning like I'm not really like dipping in weight, but I'm sorry, listeners, I'm going on a rampage right now. But I'm shape-shifting. So I said, what can be the next thing? So I took a look at the Hard 75.
Oh.
We heard like of this?
No.
Yes. Exercise tapes or discs?
Well, tapes, yeah. If you have a cassette player in your Monza, it might work. Hard 75 is really just, it's not just, it's difficult. My friend started doing it. And I followed her, and she crushed it, but she's way more disciplined. It's more of a 75 days. I think you read 20 pages a day of something self-help, you know, like something mental self-help, something life self-help, 20 pages a day. And then I guess the tally is after 75 days, you read X amount. You exercise for 75 minutes a day, and it has to be split in half, half indoor, half outdoor. And then it says you must maintain a diet no matter what diet it is. And then you do that for 75 days straight, every single day, no breaks. Okay. And if you cheat, you have to start over at day one.
What day are you
on? So there's no, I'm on day two.
Okay.
You know those
two things. I didn't forget to finish. Oh. So there's also, so then I'm like, okay, I'm not going to be able to stick. Oh, and there's no alcohol, period, end.
Oh, well, you forgot that little.
Yeah. So they do have a medium 75.
Yeah.
And then they have a soft 75. So I'm just going to leave it at that. You guess which one I'm on. But yeah. So that's going on. So what's going on with you guys? Let's go around the table real quick. We got 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Oh, what?
How was your work? How's your life? What are you doing this week? You got kids? Like, how's school? How's your weather? Your house got any improvements lately? Your car doing okay? You were under a minivan today, from what I understand.
It's a minivan? No, I was under my Westfalia. I added a kill switch.
Not a minivan, man.
If any bad guys are listening, yeah, they know there's a kill switch on my VW bus. Apparently, 80s VWs, there's a big wave of theft with them. They're really they've entered the echelon of classic. I have an 84 Westie. It's very precious to us, and so I put a kill switch on there so the bad guys can't take it.
Do you name it?
You have to, best of the bus.
Best, that's it.
So you got to hold in the kill switch to start it. It made me feel really good. Switch. It's really fun.
Kill switch, like James Bond.
Yeah, remember in Back to the Future where only Biff could start his car?
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
That's something.
I learned how to Ford Mustang that was that way. It wasn't a good thing.
It's way
didn't
more
you
fun.
Chase some bad guys down the street like a crazy person?
Who, Biff?
You no, didn't me. You chase?
Oh, recently, yeah. Someone tried to steal my Yukon in the middle of the night, and I chased, came out my underwear. Went after him.
Did you?
There's some video. I'll send it to you if you ping me.
I don't need to see it. It's a great visual.
Really?
You know how people like run at bears and they try explicit. To scare the bears? They're like,
it was like that.
But yeah, that's more what I'm picturing.
Yeah.
Sounds like you need a kill switch in that one, too.
Oh, you need a kill switch in that car, too.
Sold that car because those are more stealable.
All right, that's all good stuff. Listen, I'm going to move on to the next phase of our journey and thank a couple people we've interacted with this week. And I'm going to interactions these days and recommendations. You should follow these folks because they're good folks. Atomic Mommy. Tops off the list. We actually spoke today. Great stuff, great articles, great website. Batty Daddy, our guys right here in the Bay Area. We got Rob from Check Kids at the Door, Bay Area Dad Life, Haley, the Ranting Housewife, always awesome, Okayest Mom Podcast, Christopher Plant, Dad Wilder, and Sarah, LA Mommy Blogger. So those are some of our Instagram friends, if you follow us on the gram. All right, we've got a lot to get to, so let's keep turning and burning. Coming up next, our tweets of the week. Speaking of food, there are tweets about food, good and bad.
Time now for the tweets of the week. Tweet, tweet, tweet.
All right, it's time for tweets of the week. I did misplace, and to Chris's request, he wanted for some reason to talk about vitamins tonight, and I lost the list of the top 10 vitamins.
I loved that idea.
For men to take. So, listeners, I promise you it will be on the next podcast, the top 10 vitamins. And guess what I did? Because you know me. As soon as I saw number one and it fit my demo, I clicked Amazon and it's going to be here tomorrow. Of
course. Did you get glucosamine, ginkgo biloba?
I don't know what it's called, but it was on different sites as the number one vitamin for people like me.
Oh, vitamin, okay.
It's a multivitamin. I did multivitamins today.
No, nothing. Never do multivitamins.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, come on. How do you know?
I do the vitamin every day. No, it's no good. I won't get into it.
Give us your unscientific reasoning, Mark.
Because generally your body can't absorb the vitamins that are in a multivitamin. If you read studies regarding multivitamins, they don't they don't serve their purpose. You're better off having specialized vitamins, D3, or you know, whatever you're taking, you need to have them. And because of when your body absorbs them the best, you need to have specific times at which you take the vitamins. I've made a study of this.
Interesting.
Some Centrum. Give me some Centrum.
Centrum.
I have heard that it's pretty useless.
Yes.
Yeah, multivitamins. You pee out most of it.
That's correct.
Fortified, or you can do your face yoga while you're listening.
Fortified cereal. That's how I get that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Like Lucky Charms? Is that,
yeah.
Lucky Charms?
Is that it's one? Got like 10 fortified.
I got to see if Count Chocula's fortified.
Yeah.
You should start.
Oh, they're all fortified.
With that.
It's like a little life hack.
Right?
You don't need vitamins.
Listen, I'm not going to disagree. I'm not a scientist. I'm not going to agree. I'm not a scientist. But what I can do is get us to... tweets of the week.
Let's do it.
Mark, you almost would have been in heaven because my first choice was tonight were mean tweets about car lines.
Yes.
Yes. But Ben takes a wagon to school, and Chris just kind of dumps and runs
what
at this
kind
point.
Of wagon?
All right. So this is first from at Tragically Tragic Alley here. We're going to start with healthy eating. Healthy eating. Oh, my ring just went off. That means someone has entered the premises. Maybe I should hit my kill switch and shut the front door. All right, so as Tragic Alley here says, use cauliflower as a substitute for mashed potatoes, rice, and any joy in your life. You have no friends now.
No.
There's only cauliflower.
Yes, cauliflower.
Exactly. My wife is on the cauliflower thing, like cauliflower pasta.
Really?
Oh my gosh, man. I'll eat it. I would
cauliflower
eat it
gets most. A really bad rap, but I read something funny about it recently. It's just that it's like if your foot had a child and you baked it, and then
gross.
It's just, anyway.
So you can't get it out of your head?
Get it out of my head.
Wow.
I like cauliflower.
I don't like that.
Boo, cauliflower.
I like cauliflower. I
love it.
All right. Three cauliflowers and a no.
Three cauliflowers and a no.
And a no.
And a no. This is no intellectual stimulation for our listeners whatsoever.
My bad.
I can do them in certain products, but not all. Number two, this is from @SuperRandomish, who says, drinking wheatgrass juice is a great way to know what being a lawnmower tastes like.
Exactly.
Oh, that stuff's nasty.
I've never believed.
Ugh. Really?
Yeah,
I don't know, maybe. But do you ever feel it? Like, it's like a multivitamin. How do you know?
Oh, we're bagging on the month.
I'm just saying.
Have you ever made fresh juice? Not like squeezing orange juice, Ben.
No, wheat,
but have you ever made like your own?
Don't talk about your $5,000 fruit juicer.
It's not that.
Don't
much.
Talk about it.
My champion juicer.
It's like we don't talk about Bruno.
Okay.
You don't talk about the $5,000 fruit
about juicer. Gunther will, but I won't.
See, I'm like. So, like, if I eat a radish, I will immediately go to Google and then Google radish benefits for my body.
I know.
So, I see wheatgrass on the menu at these rando places. Not Erewhon, that L.A. place. That's, by the way, that's a whole topic. So, then I like the wheatgrass. And then I Google it and I see what it did for me or does. And then I move on to my day. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I mean, when I try to have something green every day, so... all right, that was a super randomish. This is from @emogangbanger. So
what?
Not a gangbanger, an emo gangbanger. It says people who eat sweet potato fries are simply doing it for the attention.
I like that. Jeez. They're soggy and strange.
Compared to regular fries, look at Mark. He's about to have a conniption. What's with the face?
Because sweet potato fries are fantastic.
He's making the gas
face.
Like
the sweet with the savory. That's the only thing I can stand by with those is that if I'm having a burger, it's very salty, and then the sweet kind of invades. Otherwise, the sogginess is not worth it.
What you do is you dice it up, and then you cook it up with some curry powder and some salt.
Is that what I do?
And it's like, that's what you do.
It's what no one listening to this show does, period, ever.
Nobody ever
and
so good.
It's not as good as fries, man. Anytime I go to a restaurant and they come out with these orange fries, I'm like, oh, gosh.
Take Mark's side on the
really?
Sweet potato fries.
Better than regular fries?
But I need them crispy.
If they're super crispy.
I can't get them soggy.
Well, yeah, they need to be crispy.
All right.
And then basted in curry, turkey juice.
No,
turkey juice?
Turkey, just...
So...
curry powder, guys. Jeez.
So what?
So what's the nutritional value versus French fries?
No, much nothing.
They're both fried, right?
No, sweet potato fries are so much better for you.
Really?
Yes, sweet potatoes.
Really? Two Ooh, things cares. We have to look up after the show because of you.
Do it.
All right. Sweet potato fan.
McDonald's.
I do like sweet potatoes.
McDonald's French fries have 18 ingredients.
Yeah, oh, so my gosh. A lot of, not in your part of Europe, know. Right?
Moving on.
Okay. All right. So this is from at Lurk at Mom Home. I long to go back in time and revel in the feeling of desperate optimism that swept over me 6 days ago when I bought this bag of spinach.
I we eat a lot of spinach. I get it, but it's a funny joke.
I do it too. Where it gets, like it. We have a weird fridge that's deeper as not as wide. Mm-hmm. And then you know, like when you take the bag of spinach out after you hadn't seen it in a while, and you're like, "Is this good?" Yeah. And you're like, "Oh no!"
It's pretty easy. It's to a see. Bunch of slime.
Yeah, slimy.
Oh, slime. Yeah,
slimy.
Yeah, Trader Joe's stuff goes bad faster.
Trader Joe's has the worst produce.
No, it doesn't. But it does. Some of it's
probably because it's fresher.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's fresher.
Exactly.
It's
fresher. You have to use it. It's exactly it. It is fresher.
All right. This is from at Timmy Toes. There's a lot of debatable topics we might have to do some research on. At Timmy Toes, great handle. Sunday buys $100 worth of groceries. Monday bakes salmon with asparagus. Tuesday. Hamburgers. Wednesday, I'm out of ideas. Let's order pizza. We were there with our first. Then we got the hang of it, and now we're much, much, much better. I'm not going to say we plan 5 meals a week, but it's pretty close. But we do have themes. Like, we do Italian Mondays.
Oh, man.
And then we do Taco Tuesdays, of course. And then we usually will do one rogue takeout a week and then patch it all up together with the other stuff.
We're doing HelloFresh, and I know it sounds fancy, but
no, we do Blue Apron.
You do? But after you plan, shop, cook.
PSC.
Yeah.
What?
Huh?
Plan, shop, wrap. PSC.
PSC. PSC. Plan, shop, cook.
The thing is that
you just said it with such authority. Like, after you plan, shop, cook. Like, I'm waiting for the ringer now. You got to deliver the home run.
Aren't those lyrics from a punk rock song?
It might be.
Can I get a seat? No, yeah, anyway, the cost makes sense after all that mental and energy and the time of all shopping. And then you don't have leftovers, which isn't that.
I will tell you the cool thing about those meal services is that when you learn how to make them, you can then replicate them without going through them. And I've found that you can cut corners, not with ingredients or quality, but with prep. Because I've had those services and they lie as how long they take to cook.
Just do it. I don't even look at the camera.
45 minutes.
Now he's
got sound effects going.
The funny thing is, you guys don't even know what the sound effects that are attached to you are.
Anytime you're giggling, I'm like, what's he doing?
Oh. I'm pushing buttons. Oh, Ben. All right, so this one comes from good source at Ken Jennings.
Ooh,
Jeopardy all timer. Yes. Yeah. I actually can relate to this. We're moving on the,
she's home.
Oh yes. The lights just went on, listeners. It's getting dark here in California. For about 3 straight years in the late 1980s, the only dinner eaten in America was spaghetti, meatballs, supermarket garlic bread, and an iceberg lettuce salad. That was like my go-to as a kid.
I don't relate to that.
That was my go-to as a kid.
They didn't put Pac-Man soup on there.
Pac-Man soup?
Pac-Man soup.
All right, part two, the finale of the tweets. We had a delivery. Cheers, fellas.
Cheers.
Happy Wednesday. Yes.
This margarita glass is full. Normally it's like...
Oh, let's toast to Jimmy Buffett.
Oh.
Since we're here right now.
You guys want a fun fact?
You gotta pour one out.
I was drinking a margarita when I found out. No Ooh. Joke. I was on a deck.
Like 4:30 in the morning, you just couldn't sleep.
I really like Jimmy Buffett.
Kitchen alone.
He was wasting.
No, you were on your deck. That's cool.
was on a deck and I had a margarita in hand when I heard. Thought it was interesting. I did a post. I haven't done a post in years. I posted that. You can look it up.
On what?
On the Instagram.
Really?
I did. It was my first post in several months.
Wince is on the Instagram.
I am. But,
yeah. All right. So let's get into our final three tweets, and then we'll roll on swiftly. Rest in peace, Jimmy Buffett.
R.I.P.
A lot of great memories for a lot of people. This is from Ego Raptor. So a raptor with an ego, not to be confused with Emo Gangbanger, which was an earlier, or Ken Jennings, who had spaghetti and meatballs most of his childhood. Grilled cheese is a lie. The bread is grilled. Grill the cheese, coward.
I stand behind that. Yeah. I put cheese on the outside of anything, like a quesadilla or a grilled cheese sandwich. I do a layer of
outside as
cheese
well.
Outside.
Yeah, you really? Got to fry it up. You got cheese, and we make cheese cookies. I shouldn't reveal this because it's my retirement plan. Cheese cookies, cheddar cheese, just fry it.
Yeah,
like the shredded
stuff. Mm-hmm. Trader Joe's.
They have cheese cookies.
Yeah,
it's straight up.
Yeah, just straight up. Those little.
Well, mine are hot.
Hot.
I'm on the corner. I'm going to be on the corner with a little griddle.
Okay, I'll buy some.
Yeah. They're hot.
I know what you're talking about, though.
Yeah,
because I will put on too much cheese and let it grill out.
That's what you're supposed to do. It squeezes out.
But no, when it hits the pan, then it gets that caramelization. Yeah.
Well, sprinkle some cheese in the pan and like rub it in.
Okay. I think I've done that with eggs.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've done it. I'll put feta down.
Ooh, hey.
Yeah.
Hold on.
Oh, I made an omelet. Oh, that's what my listener correction was. The show that I was going crazy about last week about the omelet is actually called The Bear.
The Bear. The Bear.
Yeah. The Bear. Chef. And it's one of the guys from Shameless. Not the chef.
Right.
We didn't get any emails about it.
Oh, I heard about that.
But you did say the cheese was the Burmese or what was it?
Borzin.
Borzin. Yeah. I was looking at that whole, like the piping in the Borzin cheese. Yeah. And I was like
straining the eggs.
Right.
Over and over through the strainer to get it.
Really, that's the secret.
Yeah. And then she took butter, and then she didn't make a quesadilla like half sunshine omelet. It was like a threefold.
Okay.
Coming in. Then she rubbed it down with butter.
And then chives.
And then the chives and potato chips.
Oh, man. That's like.
Yeah. And she was making it for this sweet pregnant. It was the sweet part of the story. This pregnant woman was just like, can you just make me something? Anyway, you missed that last week, Ben. You were playing man softball. But. It was a good old chat. All right. Finally, we're going to go on to the Drake. I like this one. Drake Gatsby. Kind of like a play on Great Gatsby / Drake, right? Might even be Drake. He's Champagne Poppy. Fajitas are just tacos for people who crave attention.
Sizzle.
Yes.
That's funny.
That's a pretty good one,
that
right?
That's hilarious.
That's good.
Fajitas are just tacos. When I used to wait tables at a Mexican restaurant back when I was late teen, and everybody wanted the sizzle of the fajita, but we'd let them sit in the window for like 10-15 minutes, way too long. So I'm not going to tell you all the secrets, but like we just throw ice cubes on because the pan was still hot.
Oh, to make the sizzle. Like,
watch this. We'll throw a ton of ice on it and soda. And then you'd come out and we'd go popping everywhere.
And
you'd watch the family go, oh, here it comes.
No,
it
really?
Tastes like Sprite.
That's awesome.
It's interesting, Dad.
Here it comes.
All right, here's our final tweet. And then we're going to move on to our smart article by a smart person. It's getting a little chilly out here. This is from Todd Ed Dillard. Very relatable. Final tweet. Asked my 5-year-old what she wanted for dinner, and she said, not a burned quesadilla. Because in the summer of 2019, I overcooked one side of her quesadilla.
That's awesome.
All right, that is our tweets of the week. Coming up next, smart articles by smart people. And it's from The Walrus. I am The Walrus, and it's called, Is Homework Good for Kids? Children and parents are often frustrated. Some educated experts are calling for a rethink.
But articles by bald people.
This cricket's
all right. So we got this article from our neighbors to the north. Chris actually supplied tonight's article.
You did?
Yeah, not actually. Everybody does every once in a while. But mainly me. So it's a lot of, I don't know. I'll just get into it. It's not like tips or anything, but I think like an open discussion, because Ben's like got a lot of Uruguay in him. Right. You have girls that have gone rigidly and now one's at UCLA, so I'm sure you have a take. Mark, you as well with all your kids.
With all your kids.
No, crazy. He's got an older and then the high school senior and, you know, seventh grade, eighth grader. So I don't know where I stand on this, but I'll read from the articles. It basically questions, when my son started school in the fall of 2015, I knew there'd be some challenges to overcome because he was attending a Francophone program. The catchment zone was quite large. Start each day with a 45-minute bus ride across downtown. Husband worked full-time, so my son would have to be in after-school care. Blah, blah, blah. 45 minutes of transit. Didn't arrive at our apartment to 7. At dinner and bath. And then homework started. The worksheets began trickling down during grade 1. By next year, my son was getting thick weekly packets. The board policy was that children in the grade were supposed to receive around 20 minutes work per night in our house, but the agony was never that brief. 1 week in grade 2, the parents got involved and felt like they both failed. They were told the work wasn't mandatory, but that put us in a difficult position. Here's where I'll leave it off and then we can chat. But it says, homework is seen to benefit time management, self-discipline, and organizational skills. But there have been no studies that really have shown that homework actually either develops these skills or reinforces them, says Ada Kravalik, professor emerita from the University of Arizona, author of The End of Homework and Schools That Do Too Much. She's not the only homework researcher who's questioning how and why. Lean Cameron and Lee Bartle from the Ontario Institute for Studies in Education have critiqued homework practices in Canada, noting maybe, well, the tipping point for the next educational reform movement, because now the issue is now uppermost in many parents' and teachers' minds. So all that being said, how are you guys doing?
Dude, I mean, I'm passionate about this.
Really? Doing or don't?
Are you kidding me? Homework is the most detrimental part of school.
Really?
Absolutely.
I knew we'd be divisive it here. Is
training in capitalism. It takes away from family time. It adds stress. I actually read this article, you guys. I read it.
Nice.
First time. I opened it and
you
I'm like.
You did your homework.
For the first time. I don't even know where to start. I'm so against homework. I mean, 7 hours of school and then go do an extracurricular, eat dinner with your family and wind down. My Lord, I've always hated homework. I mean.
All right. Well, let me just compliment that statement. Yeah. Part of the issue is that children, like this is from the article, is that children, like adults, perform better when they have adequate outlets for stress, like exercise or leisure. In a groundbreaking educational program in Vanves, France, that started in 1950, students showed improved academic achievement when classroom time was shortened and phys ed was extended. Follow-up studies include some done in Canadian cities like Quebec. They found that students overloaded with homework were not meeting their developmental needs or cultivating other critical life skills.
It's busy work, man. It's practice for capitalism.
I don't understand that statement, but I will say this.
I'll explain it.
During the pandemic, you know, I would never say that we were on cruise control, because we've always helped our children with homework. But when you had to become the home teachers that complemented the online teachers, you really saw the homework. Now, it was lightened during that path, I'm sure. But we've always just tried to find a balance of that. And what we're finding in our situations is homework, my oldest is getting slammed with homework. She's getting home at 6:37 from her extracurriculars and then going to do homework, and then she'll do it till 10, 11, 12. Yeah. And a lot of comparable stories, especially the junior year at these schools, where the plot thickens, because that's the college year. But where did you stand, Chris? Because I mean, you know, obviously your girls are driven; they're both excellent students. What was the load for them like, and what's your story around that?
Yeah, I mean, first I felt like this Canadian article is kind of trippy because, like, what was it? Her kid was in a francophone program. Was that a? I was imagining like one of those Fat Albert instruments, like like made out of a radiator and a lamp or something. But anyway, no, at first I actually had the opposite reaction to the article. Like I kind of at first was kind of in a disagreement, not just the Canadian parts, but I felt like if my kids are doing it, you know, then, you know, like, what are you complaining about? Like, I know it's hectic. But, you know, my kids go to school, they get super good grades, they're in athletics, they practice golf like 2 hours a day, they were super involved in leadership, they participated in, you know, all the fundraisers, yearbook, and then they did all the, like, school musicals and plays and everything, so it was definitely overpacked.
Were they ever chilling?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they sleep at nighttime. So, I don't know, I do feel like... I don't know, like, I also felt like that homework was, like, an integral part of school and learning. Like, you know, school is, like, especially in high school and middle school, it happens so quick. You only get 45 minutes between periods to, like, kind of pick up this information. And so I feel like, especially at that age, you need to have that homework to, like, practice and review the material to, if you're going to do well in school and get the good grades. But I mean, I think that's something that I like definitely was brought up that way, and I recognize the cultural thing.
I get it.
Like, that's how my parents brought me up. But the article, the one thing that it kind of pointed out was that why are we prioritizing academic success, and why is that so important? Is that the end all be all? And I definitely agree that we're definitely leaning on the side of, hey, we emphasize that in our family. But back to the empathy part, the more I read the article, the more I start to kind of read more about or think about more about the points she was making, particularly about that point about the prioritizing academic success. But I think the biggest takeaway for me was really about like how super fortunate we are to be able to provide that level of support to our kids, right? Like, we go to...
Right.
We drive them to all the places. We go to all the practices. We go to all the PTA meetings. We donate all the stuff. And, you know, and again, I feel like not everyone is in a position to...
A lot of kids are alone until...
Fit that into their lives. Like, right. The author their was dinner, saying,
there's like, a section of this article and all this. And
yeah. So, yeah, I totally get that. But honestly, that made me actually feel like, because we're fortunate enough to be able to, like, super extra support our kids, that I almost feel like, you know, like, we, that makes me want to push them even harder. Like, hey, take advantage of the fact that, you know, you have the support. Don't take it for granted. Try your best, your super best. But you know, again, I'm the tiger dad. I get it, you know.
Like, you want that, but I feel like this homework assignment, it makes the playing field uneven, because, like, when I say it's a practice for capitalism, we trample each other in the West, right?
Sure.
Like, if I'm sorry to use Europe as a all the time, but it's what I do get to cross-reference two different worlds, and one of the best things there is the work-life balance. Everybody asks me what's better here, what's better there, and here we do trample each other. Bosses are demanding 50 to 60 hour work weeks, and that where does it end? And homework's the same thing. Like, if these kids, if the grades were based on only what happens in the classroom, the playing field is level. When this homework thing comes into play, it's like the AP and the senior, I just see so much stress already with my eighth grader. Yeah. She's like, bang, and then I'm like, babe, I'm about to burn it, because she should be, you know,
doing other things. You know, yeah, kind of weighing up both sides here, but I think this is a very pertinent paragraph. Kravlik thinks change is on the horizon. And, you know, unfortunately, I don't think my kids will ever see it. By the time they figure this out, I will be long moved on, but. Things changes on the horizon. COVID-19 disrupted how school was done, an experience that caused many of us to reevaluate our attitudes towards education. In 2021, the National Education Association published an article, "Will the Pandemic Change Homework Forever?" that explored how COVID-19 lockdowns, which collapsed the boundaries between school and home, caused educators to re-examine what works and what doesn't. Last year, Jessica McCrory Callow, a bunch of names, published a paper, You Need to Be Responsible, the Myth of Meritocracy and Teachers' Accounts of Homework Inequalities, that showed that teachers often interpret struggles of homework as a lack of responsibility or motivation on the student's part, and then react punitively instead of supporting students' needs, which only serves to exacerbate social inequalities in the classroom, which is interesting. More recently, the president of Ireland, Michael D. Higgins, suggested that homework should be banned, saying that schoolwork should stay at school and the students should be able to use their time for other creative things.
Them Europeans.
Well, the president of Ireland.
Look at that, man. I gave you an Irish president to back you up.
Well, he has no credibility. He's just another dad. But he doesn't even make policy. However.
That's what he said. The president's role is largely ceremonial and does not involve making
policy.
Yeah,
but he's just another dad. But absolutely, like, I think the teachers, and for all their wonderful work, I mean, you should get it done in the classroom. And sending work home is a little bit of a cop-out to me.
Hmm. I mean, realistically, what it comes down to, and I think the article pointed out well, is at certain ages, it's age appropriate to put on a little bit of homework. In the younger grades, I don't think it should happen.
Sure.
I mean, you know, my third grader has homework, and with all of his extracurriculars, and he has them. We want him to be active. He wants to play sports. He wants to do things, and his homework is for all the years I've got four kids. Homework in the younger years has always been a real trial and tribulation.
And
it's
worthless.
It's a chase
down of capitalism.
I'm not going that far, but I'm going to say that it definitely, it doesn't seem to serve a whole lot of a purpose. I mean, maybe spelling, maybe practicing spelling words.
Spell check.
Anyhow, so moving on though, the one thing that's interesting is that my senior son has an English class where part of what the teacher is doing is essentially treating her classroom like a work environment, where your success in your job is how you perform in the class. And I think that's a smart maybe way to work through, because realistically, what are we trying to prepare them for? We want them to be smart, and we want them to be able to be successful in some kind of work environment, whatever that looks like.
College?
You know, well, yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But I mean, I think that junior high and high school is when it should ramp up, but I do think that you should be given space and time to be creative and whatever it is you're interested in. I mean, you know, my little boy can't sit and play on the floor with his toys because he has to get right to the homework because we got to get to soccer. Yeah. And then, you know, and it's not where my heart wants to
and
be.
And your teacher, like maybe most elementary school teachers will say, oh, it's not mandatory. Okay. Well, that's great. As long as their learning is not based on homework.
And it's, like I mean? You were saying, it's not going to be a level playing field because there's going to be people like me at home or like my mother-in-law who are asking the kids to get work done. And then there's going to be latchkey kids like me who is going to have to either have their own wherewithal to do it or fail and come to work or come to school the next day without their homework being done.
I mean, as you can guess, I didn't do homework growing up. And look at me, huh?
I'm just a giant piece of man candy over there.
I rely on my looks mostly.
Well, you know, it's kind of touched on all these points. He's expected to finish this one paragraph. Something that made this author's child dread to go to school was homework because it put him in a nightly spiral. The work seemed endless, and he felt like he was constantly coming up short. I mean, especially if you have learning differences or anything to that effect. I mean, if you're doing homework by yourself and, like, mom and dad can't explain chem at a certain level or, you know, trigonometry at a certain level, I could see where that would really be detrimental. But, you know, I hate to use this cliche. It is what it is.
Is it?
But can we change it? Yeah. Will you see it in your time frame?
I think you can send emails. You can talk to educators.
Of course, you can be an active participant. How much will you rattle the cage, though?
A lot.
He will.
I've seen him rattle cages.
Our superintendent definitely knows my email address and rolls his eyes every time. However, I mean, the short answer to me is it's just too much.
I'm passionate about other causes where I devote a lot of my time, but I'd never really gotten into the homework zone. And
I get it, though. I mean, you know, I think what you said was really the main takeaway is that both sides, there has to be a balance.
Yeah.
I definitely feel like the earlier years, definitely homework is kind of a waste. But as you start getting into, like, high school, your junior years, you want to do AP classes. If that's what you want to do, then
they shouldn't be falling behind if they don't do their homework in first through fifth, right? But that's what's concerning, you know.
And I will say that at two of the schools, of the three schools my kids are at, there seems to be some movement to get more work done in the classroom, because I'll ask my daughter, hey, you know, what do you have for homework? And she's like, oh, I did it in class. And my senior's saying the same thing for a couple of his classes too. So when they come home, and I know they only have homework and maybe a couple or a few subjects, that's kind of peaceful for me to think, oh, okay, we're in a good space, because I don't have to like ride you for, you know, six or seven periods. It's only two or three. I think there's benefit in again, to your point, Chris, like, yeah, AP classes, absolutely. Those should be worth more because you're getting college credit for them. The regular standard stuff, they need to be a little bit more in the school space, because again, they want kids to be well-rounded. And if you're constantly being beat up on your homework, it's just not healthy.
I mean, we can take this to the next level in another show. It's like, then how important is college? How important are the standards to get into colleges? And how much would homework play into that? So, but we'll save that for another day. Let's just one final toast to.
like I said, this is homework. A huge margarita. There's barely any in here. I was going to say
another toast to Jay. Yeah, there's a lot of opinions, but we'll put this link up when we post the show. And then, I don't know, if it helps you out, awesome. If not, you can maybe see different sides of things. And that's what we're kind of here to do. You know, because we're just four dads with 12 kids between
12
us.
12 kids between
we're
us.
We're 12 dads with four quids. You got me saying quids now. All right, coming up next, we'll see how much homework you actually did, and we'll see if you're smarter than a fifth grader with an actual fifth grade quiz coming down from the Quiz Grizz coming up next.
It's quiz time! Parrot quiz! Quiz, 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 quiz.
All right, it's time for our parent quiz. It's actually from Quiz Grizz. Get that energy going before Quiz Grizz. All right, tonight's prizes, and I never really got to the bottom of this, but there are a bevy of Bath and Body Works products over on the other side.
Bevy of Bath and Body Works products?
Yeah. Yes. Tonight is... well, this is the prize for the quiz. It's warm vanilla sugar cleansing hand gel soap.
Oh, that's that what that one. Smell is right now? That's or is that your one. Pumpkin spice?
I don't know what my wife had going on.
Why is that opened?
I don't know. It's unopened.
It's not open. It's got the seal on it.
Apparently, my wife had an event with prizes last week, too, but I didn't know about it.
You guys are going down.
All right, so that's what's on the table, literally. Here's the quiz. We're going to start it because it says start the quiz. For someone older than 10 years, how many times per minute is an average heartbeat?
God. 69.
I'll help you out. 320 to 340. B, 20 to 40. D, 170 to 190. Or B, 60 to 100.
60 to 100.
D. All right. Good job. All three of you got that one correct. Children generally have higher heart rates than adults. Measuring the pulse, which is the number of heartbeats per minute, gives important information about your health. Question two, which bones protect your heart? Wrist bones, rib cage, ulna, or femur?
Femur.
Rib cage.
Rib cage.
All right, obviously the correct answer is rib cage. Great job, everybody. These are fifth grade quiz questions. They will progressively get harder. What is the closest star to the Earth?
Is it Orion?
Hold on.
Let me.
He was about to say something else.
Oh my god.
Go ahead. Now we'll count as a wrong answer.
Yeah.
Alpha Centauri.
The sun, dude.
Okay.
Alpha Centauri.
Okay, there's a fight before the multiple choice. Someone could fall behind right now. Mark's patiently just sitting on the side waiting for his 1 in 4 chance.
Exactly.
Orion, Alpha Centauri, the moon, or the sun?
Alpha Centauri.
The sun. Come on, man.
I'm going sun.
Yeah.
Fisticuffs are about to be thrown down in the backyard, but the correct answer is The sun.
Damn it.
The sun is the star in the center of the solar system.
Yeah,
nearly
a star.
Perfect sphere of hot plasma with internal convective motion that generates a magnetic field.
You just guessed.
No.
I did.
All right. We're going back to the planets. The moon casts a shadow on Earth during the blank.
Lunar eclipse.
Lunar eclipse.
Yes.
Solar eclipse.
Ooh.
Half moon or new moon?
Hold on. Trick question. Sun. Say again. It casts a shadow on the
solar
moon.
Eclipse.
The moon casts a shadow.
Okay, final answers are in.
It's a solar eclipse.
Two solar, one.
One lunar.
Correct answer is solar eclipse.
Hey, look
solar
at that.
Solar eclipse occurs when the moon gets between Earth and sun. When the moon casts a shadow
so
over
I could have
the
studied
Earth.
For this ahead of time.
I'm
shifting into fifth.
Worthless.
All right, here's the next question. What attaches muscles to bones? What attaches tendons. Muscles to bone? Oh, no one wants to jump the shark this time.
He said tendons. I say tendons. Ligaments. No, you're right.
Say ligaments. I like how you're just taking that die. I should give you two if you get it right. Elastic, veins, nerves, or tendons?
Tendons.
Okay, multiple choice made it easier. Tendons is correct. Great job, all three of you.
We should get 2 points if we say it.
No, all right. Buzzer. What part of our bones, host is speaking. Yeah. What part of our bones make red blood cells?
Marrow.
Muscle, soft marrow, skin, or joints?
Two points over here.
Huh? You would have been marrow. 2 points, but we didn't vote
for
the change.
We played by the Ben rules.
Soft marrow.
Marrow.
No one has a marijuana joke. I like that.
Oh, hey.
It is soft marrow. Congratulations, guys. You got that one right. All right. Which kind of creature is found at the top of the food chain? Herbivore, scavenger, apex predator, or bacteria?
Apex predator.
Okay, everybody knows Jurassic Park.
People.
Apex predator is correct.
Mark should do sound effect under.
All right, we're going to keep going. So far, it seems like Mark is in the lead.
Hold on.
Yes, I am.
Are you counting?
Dude, give me that soap, man. It's
incredibly. He's very serious when it comes to these quizzes.
He's very serious. Look at him over there.
Are you counting my points or not?
There's no reason to. You
count your own.
Answered a few wrong.
I got.
Here we go. Right. In the interest of our listeners' lives,
yes.
A blank organism is an organism with only one cell.
Single cell.
Is it planktonian?
Oh, no.
Embryonic, multicellular, unicellular.
Unicellular.
Or amoeba.
Ooh.
Unicellular.
Yeah, unicellular.
I like the first one, whatever you said. Plankton?
Planktonian?
It's a good word. It's like some funnest to say.
Planktonian. Yeah.
Planktonian. I'm going with that one.
Say it again.
Planktonian?
Yep. No, single cell. Unicell.
Correct answer is unicellular.
Yes. Oh, look at that.
Did you count me? I've only gotten some of.
Okay. So he's ahead.
I'm still ahead.
Is he?
I guess I don't know. He looks like he's ahead.
All right, we're moving on. What is condensation? When gas changes to liquid, when liquid changes to gas, when liquid freezes, when ice becomes steam.
When vapor turns into liquid, or when gas turns into liquid.
Gas to liquid.
Due to change in temperature.
That's obviously
too. Is that double word score or something like that? Should I get a triple for that?
See, you're like the first kid that answers, and then all the other kids in class are like, oh, it's
obviously it's something that turned into liquid, but whatever number that was.
It's the first one.
It's a letter. So I'm going to take one off your board for that. It's when gas changes to liquid.
Yes.
Mark, staying silent doesn't get you a point. Good job, everybody.
I said, did you put A?
All right, here we go.
Liquid. Hey, dude, something's on the line.
The three types of pulley systems are fixed, movable, and blank.
Pulley system, huh? I'm going to say, there's multiple choice. Yeah, this is where it comes in handy. Let's go.
Fulcrum.
Okay. Fulcrum. I like that. Fulcromian.
Fulcromian.
Okay. We have fulcromium. Transferable.
Oh, I like that too.
Immovable, sling, or compound?
A.
Compound. I'm going go. D.
Transferable.
Hmm. Ooh. Transferable. Okay, here's where we... This is the bonus round. What'd you say? So,
hey,
what's Mark saying?
I said A, too.
A, I'm going compound.
All right.
The answer is... A pulley is defined as being one of three simple machines, the pulley, the lever, and the inclined plane. A fixed pulley describes a pulley that is secured to a single spot. The compound pulley system is a combination of fixed and movable. Fixed. Good job, whoever said compound.
Hey.
I think Mark's there.
All right, here's a no-brainer for those of you with no brains. Which of these help an animal protect itself from predators? Food, fire, camouflage, or migration?
Camouflage.
Camouflage.
Camouflage is correct. Okay, we're down in the final two. We're in the home stretch. Who's got the lead so far?
Well,
I'm going to say Mark has a commanding lead. You missed two.
I don't remember. Missed one.
All right. A blank is a small cell that grows into a new plant.
A new plant?
A what?
Yeah. A blank is a small cell that grows into a new plant. And there is no multiple choice.
Synthesis.
No, that's the shoot. Process.
No multiple choice for this.
Can't say a shoot.
Oh, it would be a shoot or a seedling.
Ooh.
Something like that.
No.
Should be shoot or seedling? Anything from you, Chris?
It should be seedling.
I'm saying seedling shoot. I say shoot.
Seedling?
Yeah.
All of you say seedling.
We're not even we're not even getting choices, though.
No, you're not. Shoot. This is the bonus round.
I'd say seedling.
You put it in the Routone hormone, and then that...
Mm-hmm. Did you say everybody is incorrect. The correct answer is spore.
Oh. Spore. Oh, a single cell.
Spore. Spores are cells capable of developing into new individuals without another cell.
Nice. Mm. So no one gets the soap.
Question 20.
Oh, man.
Oh, shoot. Tiebreaker.
The final one.
The final.
What kind of animal lays eggs, breathes air, and usually has scales?
Reptile. Bam, suckers.
What? Obviously.
Come on. You got to be quick. Obviously not mammals.
Breathes air.
Is it insects, reptiles, or mammals?
It's reptiles.
Reptiles.
Huh?
Yeah. The correct answer is reptiles. Mm. So great job, everybody. Yeah. I can add one more if you'd like, tiebreaker. We're tied right now.
Like winner of this question takes all? Yes.
He's making up the...
Here it is. We are tied.
All right.
Oh, my gosh.
What is... All three of you, quietly give your answers. What is a force that occurs when one object rubs against another object?
Friction.
Friction.
Obviously, your wives are happy. The correct answer is... Whoa.
Okay, with a little laughing humor.
Ooh,
PG-13. Okay, final real question.
Another one.
Charles Darwin came up with the theory of
evolution.
Blank.
Evolution.
All right, you are clearly smarter than a fifth grader.
Clearly.
So we'll have to move the prize on to next week's quiz. Warm vanilla sugar cleansing gel and hand soap with natural essential oils from Bath and Body Works.
Are there parabens in that?
Great job. Triumph all ye parabens.
Paraben free.
It's paraben free. Ooh, of course it is.
Let's fight for that.
All right. Coming up next, a couple of this or that, and then things that make us smile.
Parabens. It's two me's.
All right, everybody, we are into our final throws of the shows.
Throws of the shows.
You
got a couple of this or that, and so then things that make us smile, because mm-hmm. we're all about the gratitude. Here's question number one. Would you rather watch a movie at home or in a movie theater?
Movie theater.
I'm the only one. I'm a home.
Really?
So weird, dude.
Yep. Is it weird?
Even post-pandemic, you're still...
I like the blankets. I like snacks.
You can take a blanket and snacks.
It's just like true not paying $13 for like my, milk duds. I just sit at home.
You don't bring your own snacks in?
Sometimes I do, but I just feel like
I'm really
it's
sad.
Such a hassle.
I've turned into my mother used to bring big like paper bag and she'd sneak it in her purse.
My mom would bring chicken.
Like fried chicken. Yeah. We talked about that. Your mom brought chicken. Mine used to bring plums. Oh, and then they like leak through the bag. So I don't even know what state they were in. I just remember going to see a Disney movie as a kid and my mom handed me a plum and I'm like watching the kid next to me like mow down popcorn and milk duds. I got a plum.
So what about you, MK? Because my answer is depending upon the film.
Oh, really? So,
oh, yeah.
That's a good angle.
I'm a 50-50. Like, if the movie is epic and it needs to be seen in a big screen, then I'm going to see
Oppenheimer.
Theater.
I will see that in IMAX and all that,
you know
for
what I'm
sure.
Yeah. But I mean, otherwise, if I don't have to see it on a big screen, I'll wait till I...
You spend so much of your life at home. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's all about like it's about purpose.
I will say,
okay,
theater. But I do recall the thrill of like blockbuster nights.
Yeah,
totally.
Getting the triple like VHS and coming home.
Movies?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like on a Friday with friends.
Three tapes.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, especially if it's like the Halloweens or, you know,
you
whatever.
Oh, yeah, a couple of trilogy. Days anyway.
Or the Godfathers. Or,
yeah, that's
I've
awesome.
Never done that.
Really?
Whoa. I've never done a marathon in my life.
I'm still a fan of the theater, though. I mean, to me, there's something about waiting in line, getting the giant bucket of popcorn. And that's my one flaw. I fall off this hard 75, soft 75, whatever I'm doing, once the popcorn's introduced.
Did you have a margarita just now?
But, yeah,
he's
but
on
I'm on the soft.
Oh, soft
is a different one, yeah.
Got it.
It's different. Nice.
I'm on that, too.
I'm about to have 15 drinks a day.
That's going to be my...
No big deal.
I'm going to wear that sweatshirt when soft I am 75. It's going to say soft 75.
It's different.
So nice. I did the soft 75, and now I'm there. I don't know. I would say with family or kids, the movie theater, 100%. There's nothing gives me more joy than looking down the row and watching them all intently watching a movie with me.
Totally.
That's awesome.
We do a lot of the Marvels and stuff like that. But, you know, I don't know. Yeah, I got to say movie theater.
Yeah.
Snuggle up on the couch is pretty sweet, depending upon the situation. But
yeah.
If it's epic, it's got to be seen in theater.
Oh, Netflix and chill.
If it's like a rainy night and there's like a thriller on HBO or something, like that's different.
I'm
or
really
Netflix.
Scared about theaters going away, like the desocialization of society, just like ordering food at home and never leaving home. And the pandemic rewired.
I think
everybody.
They're coming
home,
back,
home,
but
home.
Slowly.
It seems to like block, it seems to like Peak and Valley. Like you had the, what was it called? The Barbenheimer weekend.
Yeah.
And now it valued again. Now there might be a couple more coming out. It doesn't seem like that consistency, especially now that there's a writer's strike.
I'm bummed how quick stuff is on Disney Plus or whatever. Leave it in the theater. Give it a chance.
Hey now,
man. Give it a chance.
All right. So we're going to piggyback on that question. And this is interesting now. Now that I'm doing the soft 75 and I'm reading every day. Would you rather never read another book or never watch another movie?
Oh, come on, man.
That is not even... That's so unfair. I decline.
Movie. I would rather not read another book.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
I'm with you.
Never read a book.
I've read tons of books. If I never read another book again, I'm sure I'll be missing out. But as long as I can watch the movie version, you know, I'm happy. I like movies.
It might be a bridge. It might be a little bit different.
Those are
the
not,
ending might be totally.
For me, it's like
the
number one.
Those are not synonymous to me. That's not like pizza or tacos. It's like those don't even on the same realm.
But if you had to choose, that's the whole point of the game here, man. You have to this or that.
You have
to
choose.
I have to choose.
Yeah.
I have to be honest. I don't have to be honest. No one knows the truth. It would.
You do.
I'll say book because it sounds more intellectual. But honest truth
probably
is I'd rather see
movies.
Movies.
Yeah, come
keep
on.
The movies, man. Yeah. What about you? He wants movies.
Do you even ask?
He wants movies.
No. If I was by myself, and they're like, you can have a wall of books where your mind can go wherever you want for hours at a time. Hours at a time.
Sure.
There's nothing to me like getting into a book that you can't put down.
Right.
So as much as I love movies, I would have to say if it was like...
I believe your
answer. Whoa, really?
It might have to be books.
Wow.
Yeah, because I
mean, you can't, like, socialize. Like, hey, y'all read Little Women? You know, like, it's kind of, you know.
Wait, how did the South in a random Marie-Louise Alcott book get introduced?
I'm like, just saying. You know, you're missing out on such
hey,
a big
y'all.
Hey, y'all.
Don't sleep on Little Women. Don't sleep on Kill a Mockingbird.
Test of the Nervables.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
Tale of Two Cities. Don't miss it.
I look at my books now, like, I have two going and, like, three on standby.
But how many movies are you watching? Like, you watch a ton of movies.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there'll be tough. A time to read when we're older and the kids are gone. We'll, like, you know.
Then what does it matter?
Be watching movies, man.
I can't read that.
But I do. Listen, don't get me wrong. This is one of the harder this yeah, or that.
This is the hard this ever. Or that.
But, you know, I love my books, too. So, all right. Well, that was enough of that. Be curious to see what our listeners have to say. Coming up next, things that make us smile. All right, we are in the home stretch. It's things to make us, that made us smile. Well, ever since Chris sent out his sad charts a couple weeks ago,
yes.
And I've been weeping uncontrollably in my car thinking I've only got 22 Super Bowls left.
Dude, I literally have 9 family dinners left before the kid flies the coop, man.
Dude, that's awful.
Yeah.
When you really start keeping track of it, like,
don't
it's
sad.
Sad.
But then conversely, I was, of course, on this. I was wasting my time on TikTok for a second today. But there was a guy that came on. I guess this is in my algorithm, like self-improvement. And he's like, I'm 40, whatever. And he's like, if the average American lives to 78, he's like, I've got 30 more years to do this. And he's like, I'm not sad about that. What I try to do is live each day to, and this was, I think, the point of the whole thing that you put out. Live each day to the fullest, and don't leave stones unturned. If you've ever wanted to do something, do it. So all that being said, I've really embraced that in my house for the most part. I've tried to anyway, to do that extra interaction, to watch that show, to have that conversation, to not ignore that moment because I just want to sit. And I'm definitely trying to get better about just, you know, being in the bedroom on a phone and flicking around and when there's kids running around. Now, you know, A is in the room doing homework, B is the same kind of thing, and C is, you know, doing whatever. But I am waking up with gratitude every day, looking around, and then I'm like, all right, no loafing. Like, I want to take this on, and there's some other projects that I'm working on to keep that fuel going. So things that make me smile really come back to Eternal, my own family, and just trying to figure that out. And I'm not talking about random phone calls to relatives for no reason. I'm talking about texting a friend and be like, just thinking about you, man. What's going on in your life? You know, and all that type of stuff. And we're going to – one other thing that made me happy other than my familia is I started watching the show called The Blue Zones. Mm. And we'll dive into that because we're at the end of the show. But it's a really good show on Netflix where he goes to blue zones around the world. This one guy, I think his name is Rick Buellton. And they're centenarians. And that are in Okinawa or Sardinia or a random island off the coast of Greece, like whatever. And then he interviews everybody and he's like, what's your secret? So slowly but surely, I'm trying to migrate some of those things over. I don't think I'm going to 100, let's not kid ourselves, but I'm trying to migrate some of the habits there. So that's all. I'm off my soapbox. Enjoy. Go ahead, Chris.
I think, like I said, while it's bittersweet, my daughter heading off to college next week is
UCLA
is something that does make me smile. I'm full of pride and I'm super jazzed about like her adventure that she's about to embark on.
Heck,
my younger daughter this past weekend won a golf tournament that she came back from 6 strokes behind. And
ooh, that's awesome.
Like she played like a champ. So I was super proud and I'm kind of adopting this no pressure kind of approach to sports. And it's working out real well, having a good time, much better time. The car rides home anyway, at least are funner. But, yeah, and then the start of football season and fantasy football.
Yeah, that made me happy.
Yeah.
I went 2-0 with my two favorites. Ben?
I got a couple. Actually, yeah, let me think here. So one of my wife's best critiques of me ever was that I'm always in a hurry. And I think about that every day since she said it. Huh. And so, yeah, I really took it hard
because
she's
down,
right.
Man.
Yeah. So, like, my mom's birthday was Sunday, and we had 18 of us, just immediate family, around this huge table at a restaurant, and it was, like, a Mediterranean restaurant. And so, like, it really brought – and the thing I love about Mediterranean culture is just the meals last 3 hours. Everybody's just chilling, and there's nowhere to go. And it's, like, I just, like – I'm always, like, hey, what's next? What's next? What's next? What's next? And we just laid into this restaurant for hours, and the kids just started rolling around. No, yeah, some more wine, you know, like just, and that was so all 18 of us around the table and seeing my mom so happy where we're all together. So eat slow is my advice on that one. And the other one is, watching my 6-year-old son eat without his two front teeth. It's so fun. I watch Moe's. His name is Moe's. He's got this big mop, and he doesn't complain at all, but he cannot eat. And I want to help him, but it's so cute, I can't. And that's he's just awesome. Like trying to gnaw like on the sides. Of
he's corn on the cob.
He's
so
hungry. It takes so long to eat because he can't eat. Poor guy. But it's super cute. And so those two front teeth, that short little window of their life is so sweet.
All right, Mark.
That's awesome. I appreciate all the articles that were sent today that I actually did manage to read most of, and there was a lot of really good information in there. So I appreciate you guys cultivating good reading, even though they're articles and
You're
not
welcome.
Books. I enjoy that. My best friend since second grade came to visit on Sunday.
Oh, wow.
That was a lot of fun hang out with him. He's my 17-year-old son's godfather, but he and his wife came, and I killed the fatted calf and brought all the barrel-aged beers that I had, like all sorts of stuff.
What does that even mean?
I have to wonder. It's a biblical reference. When they had the fatted calf? Guest of honor, you would kill a calf because there was no refrigerators.
With Mark's culinary expertise, I would literally thought, like, maybe,
I thought maybe he killed actually a calf.
No, I did
mix it up as far as culinary. Because football was on, so I created this massive spread and then enjoyed the kickoff weekend immensely of watching teams I enjoy. So it was good football, hanging out with my friend. My kids are always a joy in my life. Love you guys and the articles you send, even though sometimes I get stressed about having to read like 9 articles before the show.
Well, there's no homework, Mark. We just we do it on the
you
fly.
Better do it.
That's why I don't read them.
Well, I never read
it. There's a subconscious thing this whole time. Yeah.
Spinning it around.
All right. We are, of course, happy that you listened to our show. And if you made it this far, God love you. If you made it this far and you email me, I'll send you a Bath and Body Work sample.
Yeah, careful.
But we are appreciated to all our listeners. Thank you for following. Instagram's my favorite because I do get to a lot of one-on-one with people. And we're going to cultivate a lot of those relationships moving forward as well, like we always have. And we are the Dad Timeout Show. And there's the Raging Dodge Charger. So we're out of here.
Love you.
Thanks for listening to the Dad Timeout Show. We're out of here. We've been listening to you talk for an hour.
My turn! Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to our Timeout Show. And we're out of here.